This is Sarah Bennett, and I am alive.
I miss my family. My real family. I didn't tell my grandmother about the supernatural skeptics guide at first. Figured I shouldn't tell a voodoo priestess I was gonna host a show debunking the spirit world. When I did tell her, she simply said, "Sarah, one day you will learn the value of faith." Grandmama died soon after that. Here, in the calm after the storm, I wonder what good faith has done me at all.
The last you heard from me, I was in the torture chamber of Quentin LaRouche, in the midst of a hurricane, having discovered the man I had been living with for the past 2 months was not who I thought he was. I heard him descend the staircase to the chamber. Then he stood in the doorway, a smile on his face, fire axe at his side, like a gun with the hammer pulled back. "I see you've met the master of the house," Sebastian said, referring to the straw dummy in the Confederate uniform. "I'm glad you finally know the truth." Oh, I knew all right. I knew Sebastian was Sebastian Brill, son of Susan and Bernard Brill, a family of serial killers brought to justice 20 years ago. Sebastian's smile went supernova. "Now we're free to be who we were meant to be." I'd never noticed how yellow his teeth were. "Who were we meant to be?" Before he answered, Sebastian winced, put a hand on his stomach. How did he have the strength to stand? Sebastian spent years in psychiatric hospitals. On his 18th birthday, he was overtaken by a powerful feeling of dread. His sister was in danger. "Twins can sense that kind of thing," Sebastian said. He escaped from the hospital and searched for Jane, only to learn that she took her own life. Sebastian blamed himself for not being there. Alone in the world, he returned to the only place that made sense to him. LaRouche House. "I thought it would just be me and LaRouche forever," Sebastian said. "But when I heard your voice, I knew my sister had returned." Sebastian took a deliberate step forward. I took a defensive step back. "I'm not your sister, Sebastian," he spoke calmly. "No, but you can learn to be my Jane. It's a game we can play forever." He strode toward me now, eager. I let him come. I was in position, my back against the operating table. I blindly gripped the handle of a flaying knife. Sebastian placed a cold hand on my cheek. "We can be a family, Jane." With a cry, I drove the knife into Sebastian's wounded stomach. He screamed in shock and fury as I raced up the stairs. From below came a roar, the clanging of metal. Sebastian painfully pulling the knife from his gut and dropping it. I had slowed him down, but just barely. Hurricane wind slammed into the house. Storm shutters rattled violently, threatening to explode. Leaving would be suicide. I ran into the kitchen and pushed my hand against the back wall, activating the entrance to LaRouche's hidden passageway. Sebastian appeared in the kitchen doorframe, bleeding, but terrifying. He charged at me. I slammed the panel shut as his axe blade chopped straight through the wood, missing my face by inches. As if on cue, my flashlight beam flickered and died. I moved through the cramped bowels of the house through total darkness. Sounds from behind, footsteps, an axe dragging across the floor. Sebastian was coming, gaining. I found the wooden staircase, climbed quickly, opened the panel into the master bedroom. With muscles straining, I pushed a wardrobe until it blocked the secret door. I grabbed the only weapon I had, the nail-studded baseball bat. I entered the second floor landing to find Sebastian waiting for me. He knew this house and its secrets better than anybody. There was nowhere to run. "LaRouche says if we can't play nice, we must join him in death," Sebastian said, tightening his grip on the axe. "Tell LaRouche I don't believe in fucking ghosts!" I ran at him, screaming. And right before we collided, the storm shutters blew off their hinges and the window shattered. Wind and water rushed into LaRouche's house. Peeling my eyes open, I saw Sebastian clinging to the railing of the staircase, holding on by force of will as the house flooded. Then, a walker burst from the waters and wrapped its arms around Sebastian's neck.
Sebastian struggled for his life, one arm around the railing, the other fending off the monster, his face filled with fury and determination. This was not the death he wanted. Walker sank its teeth into Sebastian's arm, and his expression changed. Resignation. He looked at me, almost smiling. I'll see you again, Jane. Wait for me. Then water cascaded over Sebastian and the Walker. And they were both gone. Sacrificed to the storm. The wind died. The rain stopped. It was the eye of the hurricane. I had minutes to grab what supplies I could and bring them to the attic. After a few hours, the storm subsided, but the attic was slowly flooding. Was this to be my watery grave? No, I thought. I will not die in this house. I used Sebastian's fire axe to break through the ceiling. LaRouche House frightened the residents of New Orleans for centuries. It was destroyed in moments. I lay on the roof, the only part of the house not submerged in water. I was exhausted mentally and physically, and fell asleep under the bluest sky I had ever seen. I awoke to find a small boat banging against the house. I'd call this Providence, proof the universe was looking out for me, but then I found the severed limb at the bottom of the boat. Who was looking out for that guy? The batteries on my little ham radio are dying. I don't know how much longer I'll be able to broadcast. I'm about to jump in this boat and slowly make my way toward the ninth, where Krista told me a strong woman is helping people. Grandmama was a strong woman. Was she right? Have I learned the value of faith? I've certainly found faith in my ability to survive, but my faith in humanity, I don't know. Will I find good people in the ninth, or will they be no different than marauders? Or like Sebastian? And what does it matter when we're all walkers in waiting? One day these waters will recede. The monsters, I fear, are here forever. Far away, I can see figures on rooftops of flooded houses. I can't tell if they're human or walker. Even if I knew for sure if they were human, I don't know if I would help them. This is Sarah Bennett, and I am